but this conjecture seems still very difficult to prove. I shall probably have to return to the part played by the earliest childhood experiences in another connection. Chapter 7. Of the three peculiarities of dream memory considered at the beginning, one, the preference for the unimportant in the dream content, has been satisfactorily explained by tracing it back to dream disfigurement. We have been able to establish the existence of the other two, the selection of recent and of infantile material, but we have found it impossible to explain them by the motive of dream. Let us keep in mind these two characteristics, which still remain to be explained or evaluated. A place for them will have to be found elsewhere, either in the psychology of the sleeping state, or in the discussion of the structure of the psychic apparatus, which we shall undertake later, after we have learned that the inner nature of the apparatus may be observed through dream interpretation as though through a window. Just here I may emphasize another result of the last few dream analyses. The dream often appears ambiguous. Not only may several wish fulfillments, as the examples show, be united in it, but one meaning or one wish fulfillment may also conceal another, until at the bottom one comes upon the fulfillment of a wish from the earliest period of childhood. And here, too, it may be questioned whether often in this sentence may not more correctly be replaced by regularly. C. Somatic sources of dreams. If the attempt be made to interest the cultural layman in the problems of dreaming, and if, with this end in view, he be asked the question from what source dreams originate according to his opinion, it is generally found that the person thus interrogated thinks himself in assured possession of a part of the solution. He immediately thinks of the influence which a disturbed or impeded digestion, dreams come from the stomach, accidental bodily position, and little occurrences during sleep, exercise upon the formation of dreams. And he seems not to suspect that even after the consideration of all these factors, there still remains something unexplained. We have explained at length in the introductory chapter what a role in the formation of dreams the scientific literature credits to the account of somatic exciting sources, so that we need here only recall the results of this investigation. We have seen that three kinds of somatic exciting sources are distinguished: objective sensory stimuli, which proceed from external objects, the inner states of excitation of the sensory organs having only a subjective basis, and the bodily stimuli, which originate internally. And we have noticed the inclination of the part of the authors to force the psychic sources of the dream into the background, or to disregard them altogether in favor of these somatic sources of stimulation. In testing the claims which are made on behalf of these classes of somatic sources of stimulation, we have discovered that the significance of the objective stimuli of the sensory organs, whether accidental stimuli during sleep or those stimuli which cannot be excluded from our dormant psychic life, has been definitely established by numerous observations and is confirmed by experiments. We have seen that the part played by subjective sensory stimuli appears to be demonstrated by the return of hypnagogic sensory images in dreams, and that although the referring of these dream images and ideas in the broadest sense to internal bodily stimulation is not demonstrable in every detail, it can be supported by the well-known influence which an exciting state of the digestive, urinary, and sexual organs exercise upon the contents of our dreams. Nerve stimulus and bodily stimulus, then, would be the somatic sources of the dream, that is, the only sources whatever of the dream, according to several authors. But we have already found a number of doubts, which seem to attack not so much the correctness of the somatic theory of stimulation as its adequacy. However certain all the representatives of this theory may have felt about the actual facts on which it is based, especially in case of the accidental and external nerve stimuli, which may be recognized in the content of the dream without any trouble, nevertheless none of them has been able to avoid the admission that the abundant ideal content of dreams does not admit of explanation by external nerve stimuli alone. Miss Mary Whiten-Calkins has tested her own dreams and those of another person for a period of 6 weeks with this idea in mind, and has found only from 13.2% to 6.7%, in which the element of external sensory perception was demonstrable. Only two cases in the collection could be referred to organic sensations. Statistics here confirm what a hasty glance at our own experience might have led us to suspect. The decision has been made repeatedly to distinguish the dream of nerve stimulus from the other forms of the dream as a well-established subspecies. Speter divided dreams into dreams of nerve stimulus and association dreams, but the solution clearly remained unsatisfactory as long as the link between the somatic sources of dreams and their ideal content could not be demonstrated. Besides the first objection of the inadequate frequency of external exciting sources, there arises as a second objection the inadequate explanation of dreams offered by the introduction of this sort of dream sources. The representatives of the theory accordingly must explain two things. In the first place, why the external stimulus in the dream is never recognized according to its real nature, but is regularly mistaken for something else, cf. The alarm clock dreams, and secondly, why the reaction of the receiving mind to this misrecognized stimulus should result so indeterminately and changefully. As an answer to these questions, we have heard from Strumpel that the mind, as a result of its being turned away from the outer world during sleep, is not capable of giving correct interpretation to the objective sensory stimulus, but is forced to form illusions on the basis of the indefinite incitements from many directions. As expressed in his own words, page 108, as soon as a sensation, a sensational complex, a feeling, or a psychic process in general arises in the mind during sleep from an outer or inner nerve stimulus and is perceived by the mind, this process calls up sensory images, that is to say, earlier perceptions, either unembellished or with the psychic values belonging to them, from the range of waking experiences of which the mind has remained in possession. It seems to collect about itself, as it were, a greater or less number of such images from which the impression which originates from the nerve stimulus receives its psychic value. It is usually said here, as the idiom does of waking thought, that the mind interprets impressions of nerve stimuli in sleep. The result of this interpretation is the so-called nerve stimulus dream, that is to say, a dream whose composition is conditioned by the fact that a nerve stimulus brings about its effect in psychic life according to the laws of reproduction.